Are you alive? Woo! How many of you want fearless faith? Acknowledge that before God. It's important that He sees you do that. I tell you, I wasn't always fearless. I mean, I was born and raised in Brooklyn. You needed to either be big or fast, and I was neither, so I became crazy. Finding a fearless faith. Listen, I don't have to tell you that life can be tough. It says in the Bible, though, 365 times, fear not. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Don't fear. Ouch. You know that the scripture also says that our God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, sound mind. No, I may have been crazy in Brooklyn, but I've got the mind of Christ today. So I'm going to ask it one more time. So if you belong to God, and if you're His child and His creation, it's not right for you to live your life anxious or intimidated by every bad report that you hear. Now, how many of you have heard some bad reports recently? Duh. Can I have media slide 2, please? But there's a scripture that says, be anxious for no thing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Don't be anxious for no thing. How many things do we get anxious about? I know that being on a fixed income, since Diane and I are both retired, I know that the rising gas prices. But I'm not going to be anxious about that thing. You see, because I know I have a God who will provide. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, He wants you to come to Him. You receive not because you ask not. With what? Thanksgiving. Remember that Paul wrote this while he was in a prison. And he's saying, if you've got needs, I think the Apostle Paul, I've ministered for 25 years or more in maximum security prisons. And compared to the prison that Paul was in, these were nice. And I'm just going to tell you that Paul said, with thanksgiving. One of the reasons we're so anxious about what's coming is because we're not thankful enough for what we already have. The economy may be going south. My God's going to supply, and I am so thankful for what I have here. We are living in a country where we're blessed. Even the poorest among us are rich compared to other countries. And so when you start your prayer and supplication, why don't you start it instead of begging God, why don't you start it with thanking Him for something? You see, I could give you 7 things that you can do to have fearless faith. But I'm not going to include a list, but I'm going to give you 3 tips to have less anxiety and to have a boldness in faith. Paul says that if you ever pray about what you need, but you never stop and thank God for what you have, you'll always be anxious. That's what I read that statement as. Can I have slide 3? And I'm going to just tell you that if you want to be less anxious and release the brave in you. How many of you want to release that brave in you? You're brave in here, but you want to release it. Be thankful. There it is. Ah. Be anxious for nothing. Release the brave in you by giving thanks. That's tip number one. Now, how many of you know that anxiety is persistent? 2 a.m, the eyes pop open like saucers, and you don't have a little switch here to turn your thinker off. What do you do? Well, I do know this, because even last night, Diane and I were hit with some news that really rocked our boat, made us really sad and even anxious. And when I woke up, I had to turn on some instrumental piano music, just Christian music. And it allowed me to have a peace that went beyond human understanding. That scripture from Philippians 4 that we had up previously speaks about a peace that you don't have in your own heart, but only God can give you. Slide number 4, please. You see, I've learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The conquest of fear. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. You see, there's going to be situations in life that are going to pop up and you're going to be faced with a decision. And if you are so fearful, what does fear do to people sometimes? It cripples you, it paralyzes you, it causes you to not think right. Scrambled eggs for brains. Mandela spent 20 years in a prison in South Africa before he was released, and then he led the people of Africa out of apartheid. And it was his struggles in jail that he actually found God, and he was able to lead a whole country that was racist into a much better place. But it took courage. And when they asked him about his fears, he said, "I always seem to have them, but I've learned how to conquer them." Yeah. Anybody in here want to learn how to conquer your fears? My son Joshua, he really, 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 really was kind of a little bit, he would climb up on our deck, which is about 10 feet above or 14 feet above where the pool is, and the pool wasn't even right next to the deck. It was maybe 8 or 10 feet out, and he would get a running start and jump up on the rail and then go into a 3-foot pool. I mean, he's like, but yet when he was younger, he had a friend that came over and visited, and the friend saw a snake go down into a hole that was right by our house. And so the friend thought, "I'm going to put my hand down there." And as he went to go put his hand in that hole, the snake came out and bit him, and he was bleeding terribly. From that point on, my son had a fear of snakes that one time, when he was a little bit older, I think he was in his young teens even, when he saw a snake, he started screaming like a little girl. That doesn't sound too woke to me, but I don't care. He started screaming like a little girl. It is like, come on, Josh, suck it up. You know how dads talk. Yeah. Mom is, oh, it'll be okay. Not this mom. Not this mom. Whoa. I've seen her put her finger in faces in the faces of maximum security prisoners. And I'm like, whoa. I got a letter from a man named Perry, who was the chief of the Rosendale Police Department. And this email read, the other day, this is a letter that a woman who resided in Rosendale sent him. The other day, I had one of the most frightening experiences of my life. I opened the door to my deck and found a 6-foot-long black rat snake hanging on the inside edge, like a long piece of weather stripping. To make matters worse, he was hissing and snapping. I can't begin to tell you how terrified I was. I screamed. The snake fell to the floor, and I ran out of the house. Long story short, a neighbor and I went back into the house to look for the snake and found it managed to climb up to the top of the screen door and wrap itself around the spring assembly at the top, and there it stayed for hours, coiled up like a huge ball of yarn. I called DEC. They would not help, but assured me it was not venomous. However, if it bit me, it would really, really, really hurt! Exclamation point. Gee, thanks, she wrote. The local pest control company said they could not get there until the next day, and it would cost $100. Again, thanks a lot. The Bloomington Fire Company would not help. And she quoted, "No one here does snakes." Then a call to the Rosendale police brought Officer Josh Caliendo to the rescue. He was able to coax it off the top of the door by poking it with a rake and managed to get it to slither down the door and out of the house onto the deck and eventually into the backyard. I cannot say enough about how wonderful the officer was and how grateful I am for how he calmly handled the situation. Kudos for him stepping up to do a job no one else would. His courage was inspiring. You know, he gave us a lot of heartache and hard time. But it all just is worth it. I mean, the thousands of hours that you spend for your kids, don't ever doubt. Don't ever doubt, no matter what you see with your eyes. Don't ever doubt and start declaring over them. I declared over my son Joshua, a mighty warrior, when he got himself in extreme trouble. And he became a mighty warrior. So I asked him, "I thought you were afraid of snakes." He told me, "Yeah, I still am. But I've learned how to deal with it." You see, my son was prepared. Prepared at Parris Island. Parris Island is where Marines get trained. We spoke to the drill instructor. And he was, "Your son was great. I mean, we just kept throwing him off the tower with full gear on. And he sucked up more water, but he just kept coming back." And he learned how to conquer fear. You see, it says in Romans 12:2 that we are to... Somebody, how many of you know what's in Romans 12:2? Do not be conformed. Ah, now everybody's remembering, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, my son's mind was renewed to the fact that even if there was danger, he was smarter than the snake. And you can do the same thing, and it doesn't take 3 months to get there. You start dwelling and thinking on what the Lord did. Just read through the Gospels and put yourself in the place of those Gospels. That's why I love The Chosen so much. I said I could be there next to Jesus, and I could see myself doing it. Yeah, well, I'm told that I look a little bit like Nicodemus and not Jesus. Don't laugh! Okay. Can I have slide 3, please, again? If you can back up to that. If you want to be less anxious and release the brave in you, be prepared by renewing your mind with the word, so that you're not immobilized by fear, but just speak to it. Because that's exactly what Jesus told us to do. Speak to the wind. Speak to the mountain in your life. Speak to the Goliath there and expect it to move. Now you see, Jesus was in the boat with his gang. They were from everywhere, you know? Kind of like the diversity that we see in the room right now. I mean, you had everybody in that boat. And Jesus said, well, we're going to the other side. The apostles should have listened, because when Jesus says we're going to the other side, that means what? We're going to get to the other side. And as they were going across, Jesus found a cushion that was comfortable. That's what the word says. And he fell asleep in the stern. And a storm came up and was raging. Now the fishermen started saying, we're going to die. We're going to die. And so they decided to wake Jesus. How many of you can sleep through a raging storm like that? Well, something we got to work at, right? Can I have slide 5, please? And so Jesus was awakened, and he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Now, I like the way the NIV translates it, although peace, be still, means the exact same thing. Don't get me wrong. But I like the word quiet, because it has a number of different meanings that apply here more to not just the wind and the storm that was raging in the apostles' life as they were being tossed about in that boat. You see, when Jesus said, quiet, be still, the wind died down and it was completely calm. Verse 41, which comes after 40, says they were terrified, thinking, who is this that even talks to storms and immediately stops it and obeys? The storm obeys. Ooh. Jesus said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Listen, folks, there's no condemnation if I said to any one of you, including myself, if I pointed my finger at you, I still have 3 points pointed back at me. You need to raise the level of your faith to the point where it's fearless, where you can go into any situation and not have fear. I experienced that. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, because it's like you've heard it 25,000 times. But I mean, I had a serious heart attack, which I knew I was having, and I drove myself to the ER and stopped at McDonald's on the way to the emergency room. You can't do that unless you have the peace of God, which goes beyond human understanding. And then I found out, you know, that there was a purpose for it. You see, I have a feeling Jesus knew that storm was coming up. And Jesus knows the storms are coming in life, and he wants to find out how we're going to deal with it. You see, when Jesus said, quiet, be still, he not only was talking to the storm, he was talking to the hearts of his apostles. Because the first thing that they said, that the apostles said, that was probably hurtful to Jesus was, teacher, do you not care that we're going to die? And that's when Jesus said, oh, yes, you serious? You see, when I get in situations that the storm is raging, there are times I need to shut up. Because sometimes with your mouth, you can make the storm worse. How many times you get angry over a situation that wasn't your fault, but your anger now you have to deal with for 2 months because you just weren't quiet and still before the Lord. Jesus was teaching his a lesson to his apostles, and it was more than just speaking to the storm. He was telling them, listen, when you get yourself in a scrap, you need to just be quiet and be still and know that I am God. And that way you can sleep in the boat even in the midst of the storm. The real waves can take you down. They are out there. But in here is where you really go down. Because if you don't take care of it in your heart, it doesn't matter, because then even your fears, which may be totally illogical, become real. The real waves that take you down are not out there, but in here. And when they come, you need to be quiet, be still, and listen for the voice of your God, who will give you a peace that goes beyond human understanding, and it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Can I have slide 3 again, please? If you want less anxiety and release the brave in you, be quiet, be still, and the peace of God, which goes beyond human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, I gave you 3 keys. Number 1, you need to be thankful. In all circumstances, Paul was content. I can be content in all situations, whether hungry or well-fed. Regardless of whether I have or have not, regardless of whether I'm in a prison or not, I am thankful to my God. Because the bottom line is, our life is just but a twinkle in eternity. It's just a blink of an eye. And even when I was having my heart attack and stopping at McDonald's, I knew it was a win-win situation. Because the bottom line was, as I was going to either enter into my Lord's arms as he received me into glory, or I was going to live on to tell the tale. I'm glad for my family's sake I am telling the tale. So you got to be thankful for what you have. You got to get prepared by renewing your mind with the word. Because if you're prepared to come up against the winds and storms in life, but that just doesn't happen by osmosis. You have to actually get into the word. I mean, just keep watching The Chosen over and over again. I don't care. Just get the word in you. So that when a situation arises, what comes out of your mouth is from the abundance of your heart. You see, if garbage in, what's going to come out? Garbage out. Word of God in, word of God out. And when push comes to shove, you'll be speaking to the situation, and the situation changes. Because not that you have their strength, it's because of the word of God will change circumstances. Get prepared by renewing your mind with the word, and be quiet and be still before God. And the peace of God, which goes beyond human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I'd like to finish and then give it to my wife, Diane, who will bring us to communion, which we're going to have today. What I'd like you to know is this. I've been walking with a relationship with God for 42 years now. It was 1980 that I came to a relationship with God. And I can say that I've seen and I've experienced heartache and storms and craziness in my life. But the thing that sustained me is my relationship with God, because the first thing, and And the thing I want you to understand is that even though I told you that you need to be thankful and that you need to be prepared and that you need to be quiet and still and just stop your running mouth, the most important thing is that you simply develop your relationship with Jesus. Because when the storms hit, you're not going to be like those disciples who said, "Don't you care?" I've been tempted in some of the situations in my life to wonder, "God, where are you? Don't you care?" But I have to say that God has not let me down ever. And He will never let me down. And I thank you, Lord, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that regardless of the trials, she does. She has Mohawk blood.
Well, we don't need the bow. But anyways, it's good to be here today and kind of running out of time, but I just want to remind us all that John 4:12 says, "Very, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will be doing even greater things than these."
Yes.
When we get saved, God is in us. And we get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in us. We have the power within us to move. Oh, I forgot my mic. That's good because my voice runs out, but I'm declaring it won't today. And I just thank you, Lord, that we have Holy Spirit in us. We have Jesus in us, that we can believe for the impossible to happen because God moves within us. That we can withstand the enemy, and we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. There's been like a hard time lately, and we got bad news, Rich said, on Thursday night, and I kind of lost it, and I've been tired and not feeling good for 8 weeks because of a medication the doctors put me on for diabetes, and I haven't been feeling good and tired, and I had to speak yesterday and twice today, and it was like, God. And I was crying Thursday night, like, I can't do this. I'm tired. I just want to throw him in the towel. And Rich said, stop it and move on. And, you know, sometimes you just need someone to say, stop it and move on. So today, for anyone who's struggling with things, I care that you're struggling. Because I was on a prayer call yesterday morning, and I wasn't even going to talk. At the very end of the call, it was 8 o'clock. It was time to hang up. And the leader said, Diane, do you have something to say? And I'm like, I had not really, you know, and that's not like me if you know me. And it's like, well, you know what? I had bad news. I'm struggling. I don't feel good. And I wanted to throw in the towel, and I was feeling sorry for myself. And Rich said, stop the pity party and keep moving. And I said, I'm really struggling, but we have to fight even when we're struggling in things. And next thing I know, it's time for the call to be over, and another person and another person. I had so many people on this call. There's 30 women on this call. I had so many people respond with the same thing. I'm going through something. I wanted to throw in the towel. I'm struggling. And together we prayed, and there was a release of that God's energy and power. So in this room, I know that we're struggling in things. And some things are minor and some things are big. But God does, He reaches the small things and the large things. God is moving. And I was studying the book of Acts for a while. Now I've been in and out of Daniel lately. And I was reading chapter 5 where it talks about King Belshazzar, and he was an evil king. And all of a sudden they saw a hand, a human hand, writing on the wall. And he freaked out. And he didn't know what to do. And he basically said, who can tell me? And someone said, well, there's this man named Daniel who can interpret and tell you what it means. And so when he got to it, he got him there. And it said, you know what? It says basically that your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. And the next day, the king was killed. And I've been praying a lot lately, and I heard the Lord say one morning, and I wrote it down, I heard the Lord saying that basically Satan has seen the writing on the wall, and he knows his time is short. And he knows his time is short, so he's ramping up the evil right now. He's ramping up the attacks right now, and he's trying to come after us, and he's trying to shut up Christians and Jewish people, and he's coming after attack, and he's saying, okay, the time is getting short for me, but I'm going to give them hell on earth until I go. And you know what? Greater is God who is in us than he who is in the world, and we're going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep believing. I was going to read 2 Timothy 3:1-5, and it's about the last days, and it's gross. It's horrible. There's going to be ungrateful people and slanderous people and people with self-control and lovers of self, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because you know it, and that's the bad news, but the good news is we have Jesus in us, and we have the power of God in us, and we can move forward and keep trusting God, that I believe God is going to move on us today. We've been praying a lot in here, and sometimes we have a very small prayer group, but I believe in the power of prayer. Where one or two are gathered, there he is in the midst of us, and he is going to move. And he is moving in this place. And God was saying to me when I was preparing this that he prophetically named this church, we are the King's Fire. We are the fire. We're the fire carriers, and we're to move forward. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us, and without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. That scripture set me free. That one there, because one day God said to me, you know what? You're fearing. You're worrying. Did you know worry is fear too? And he goes, you're worrying. And when you worry, that you're not walking in faith, you're walking in fear. And so because you're not walking in faith, you're not pleasing me. And he said that to me. And that was my wake-up call, because I wanted to please God. And, you know, that should be our goal in life, is to please God and do things unto him. And so I started praying more and reading the word more and getting on fire more and getting with friends, because we need to come together. So many times when we're struggling, we want to isolate. Yes. I was really good at isolating for a lot of years, and I would be like, I'm okay, I want to be alone. Remember that, you know? And it was like, but God is saying, no, this is the time we come together, we stand together, and we fight the good fight of faith, because arrows are coming from the evil one all around us to attack us, to touch our finances, touch our families, touch everything in our life, our health. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to fight alone. And I believe today that we're fighting together, and we're going to see victories happen in our church body, in our lives, and in our community. And we're going to see things change in Ulster County and New York State. And I've been praying as New York State prayer coordinator for a glow. I've been praying that New York will become a red state, and the red state is because the blood of Jesus upon our state. God is moving. God is moving. I know years ago I've struggled, and then Rich and I have been going to prison, and I've been in prison with him for 16 years now. Actually, no, we've been married 46 years, and it's been great. But we were in prison at Downstate, and in the 16 years I went, there was never an incident except one time. And in Downstate, you go in a main building, then you have to have an escort up the hill to another building. And when we got up there, I said to Rich, did you notice tonight every officer that walked us up was a woman? And it was interesting, at the front gate, at walking us up, at the desk down there, and every place we walked. And I said, that's really unusual. And I didn't think anything of it. They're trained. They know what to do. And we're waiting for the class to start. And the guys came upstairs, and we're talking a little bit, and all of a sudden we hear a crash, we hear yelling, we hear all kinds of noises, like someone threw over a desk or a bookshelf or something, and I hear women screaming, and I knew the women officers were down there alone, and immediately I felt fear, because it was an all-out riot downstairs, And so we're silent, and I was looking at we had about 10 inmates there that night, and I'm looking at them, and they looked petrified. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God, I know what they do to women in here, and it says it doesn't matter if you're 6 or 86, it doesn't matter, they do things to women in here, you know, and I was like, and then all of a sudden God said, stop it, in my head. He goes, start praying. So I started praying, And as I started praying, the inmates joined me, Rich joined me, and we were praying, and we started praying in Jesus' name, whatever's happening down there is going to stop. We declare that no one's going to get injured, and whatever's happening will be resolved right now in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, it stopped. Amen. And the officer came up, and he said, everything's okay now. He had told the guys they had to go back to their rooms. And he told us they'd come and get us in a little while to escort us out. But the power of God is strong. And God is saying that within us right now that we're called for such a time as this. God is saying you're here in Ulster County for a reason. That I have plans for you to move and to share your testimonies. And he's calling us all to be battering rams. I'm like, Lord, you're saying a battering ram? And he said, yes, a battering ram is a military siege engine that is a large wooden beam with a head of iron used in ancient times to beat down the walls. In Psalm 2:9, it speaks of Jesus wielding a rod of iron, saying, and you will shepherd them with unlimited authority, crushing their rebellion as an iron rod smashes jars of clay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Basically, iron biblically represents your authority in Christ. So right now, I'm declaring that inside of each one of us, we have a battering ram within us because we are going to continue to crush the things of the enemy. And we also remember that we never wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, authorities, and the powers of this dark world and all the spiritual forces. And God is moving. And we need to look at the door of impossibility and smash it with the word of God. Yeah. Anytime something looks impossible, start declaring and decreeing the word of God. Yeah. And if you don't know it, start reading it. God is saying that we have to get the word in us, like Rich said, so that when there's times of trials, we can speak it out. Josh, he told a story about his son Josh. One night at home a couple years ago, I knew he was working the night shift, and I prayed for him a lot. And Rich was already in bed, and I was going to bed. It was midnight, and I heard the Lord say, pray for Josh. I'm like, okay. And he goes, no, pray for him now. So I started praying for him and his fellow officers, and I just prayed for about an hour, and God said, okay, you can go to sleep now. Next morning, my son calls, and he goes, well, I almost died last night. And I go, when, about midnight? And he goes, yeah, how'd you know? I said, because God had me praying for you at midnight. Mm-hmm. And he told the story. Thank you, Lord. Then he told us that there was an incident. They were on the stairs of an upstairs apartment on the outside of the house, and they were about to break the door down because there was a guy in there, and my son was the first in line. He leaned, and they were getting ready to break the door down, and they saw he had a major assault weapon about to shoot it through the door. And my son leaned back over, pushed the other two officers down on the ground, and he felt the bullet go like this. Next to his head. And he actually got an award for rescuing the other two officers. It's called the Combat Cross Award. And God really moves. And we can trust him in all circumstances. And sometimes we have problems that stay for a while. But God says we have to keep fighting. And we carry the fire and the passion in Jeremiah 22:39. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like iron that breaks a rock in pieces? We can break the rocks. And one other quick story I'm going to tell because we're running short on time. But it's from 2 Kings, and it talks about striking the ground. And a long story short, King Joash was upset because the Israelites were coming after them and going to take them down. And so he went to Elisha and said, help us. And so Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And then he said, take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands, and they opened the east window, and he said, shoot. And Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory over Aram, Elijah declared, and you will completely destroy the Arameans. And then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He took the ground. He struck the ground 3 times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him, and he said, you should have struck it 5 or 6 times. Now you're not going to get a full deliverance from the enemy. And in verse 11, it tells how this king was still worshiping idols. So God is saying today to us, if there's anything in our lives that's distracting us, it's time to lay down idols. Sometimes this thing can be the biggest idol because we're on it too much, and we have to lay it down sometimes. We have to speak to our kids about laying it down sometimes, because sometimes we just need to have that time of presence with God. When the pandemic started a couple years ago, I was praying in my office, and in the spirit, I saw Jesus, just like in the book of Revelation, with the white hair and the eyes on fire. And I just looked, and I heard the Lord say, this is the season that you're in now, that this is the time that we are to see what he's doing, because we're in the days of Revelation. And so many times it's scary, but God is saying, I'm going to take you through everything. I'm going to minister to you, help you, give you wisdom, tell you when to pray, tell you when to be quiet, and then tell you when to fight. And as Christians, we are called to fight the good fight of faith. And we're not to give up. We're to trust him in all circumstances. So today, I just, you know, last week we heard Pastor David talk about deliverance from fear. Rich talked about overcoming it and remaining fearless. Years ago, in a glow, we had to make statements about ourselves, and I decided, I'm declaring I'm a fearless warrior. And I kept praying it over myself. And I believe that we can walk without fear, and we can move with things for God. So I felt like I wanted to end this today before we go into communion, that basically we need to disable fear totally. And the word of God disables fear. I have 2 arrows here. When I cleaned out Josh's closet in our house a few months ago, when he used to live there, I found 2 arrows left in his closet. And one is broken. And the Lord told me, even when you're broken, you can still fight. Yes. And that you still have the power of God within you. So today, Rich was talking about a release. And I want to declare release over this congregation right now in Jesus' name. I declare, Lord, that you are releasing the brave in us in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you are releasing fear in Jesus' name, that you are releasing finances for people in Jesus' name, that you are releasing restoration of families in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you are restoring people and health issues. We declare in Jesus' name, healing is happening in the name of Jesus in this place. That everyone who is suffering, God is healing them in the name of Jesus. We will keep on striking the ground, believing that God, you are moving mightily in this place. We declare and to believe that every one of our children will come to know you, Lord Jesus. We declare that our grandchildren will know you. We declare that you will move forward, that we will have tenacity. We declare that we will keep fighting and we will not give in. We declare that no matter what we see with our eyes, we will see in the spirit. We declare, Lord, I declare that each person in this room will start seeing in the spirit realm, and they will see your face, Lord Jesus. I declare that everyone will hear your voice and know that it is you. I declare that you are moving in this church. I declare that we are the fire of God, that we are King's fire. I declare fresh fire upon everyone. I release it. I release fearlessness. I release the power of God, the anointing. I release the scepter. In Esther, the king gave the scepter out. And I declare that the scepter is going out to you today. And the Lord is saying, receive the scepter and know that I am giving you all authority from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. So does everybody have communion cups? Just another 5 minutes and we're good. Anybody else need them?
Yes.
Okay, we need a few here. You know, this every single one of those declarations are made possible by the sacrifice that Jesus made, and that is what we are celebrating right now. Which we're celebrating that even in the midst of our storms, the voice of truth, which is God in us, is going to ring true. And it's all made possible because of what Jesus did. We were separated from God until that sacrifice. And now we are allowed into His presence. Jesus said, or actually God said, come boldly into the throne room of grace to receive mercy and grace in a time of need. I would like you to use this communion as your place where you're just going to bring that storm to God today. And you're going to allow Him to speak into the situation so that you will have victory. I'm going to do communion a little bit differently. I hope I can take the liberty to do that. I'm going to be playing a song called Voice of Truth. And as you are listening to the Voice of Truth, take the top cellophane. Don't do this now, or if you want, you can. And release the bread. And as you're listening, as you're singing, as you're understanding the words, just start thanking God for the mighty things He's doing. And then just take that bread and eat it, remembering that He made that sacrifice that you would have abundant life here on this earth. And then while you're listening and just absorbing the presence of God, drink the juice, the cup. For Jesus said, I give thanks for this sacrifice that I'm about to make. Because it's going to free my people from their sins and have an abundant life here on this earth. And so now, as you're watching it, please take the bread and the juice and allow God to speak into your situation, into your storms. Because I know that every single one of you in this room has something that needs to be changed by God. And allow Him to do that as you listen and sing to this song.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth. And I will listen to
him thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. You are the voice of truth. We thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've placed in our heart today. Allow us to move from this place, trusting you, the voice of truth, so that when it says all things are possible with you, we truly believe it, because you are truly the voice of truth. If you need prayer today further, there'll be people here to pray with you. We thank you, Father, as we go from this place, that the peace of God, which goes beyond human understanding and guards our heart and mind in Christ Jesus, will go with us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.